I love being in the house of God, don't you? Amen. Got your Bible turned to the book of John, chapter 19. Love to be in the house of God. Love to feel God in the church. And love to see your brothers and sisters get blessed and feel free in the house of God. Brother Glenn and Shirley, them sang that song, "Is My Lord Satisfied With Me?" I'm going to tell you right now, I don't think the Lord's too satisfied with some of us. I know me, I don't do all I can do for the Lord. I said that this morning in Sunday school. If I could take a piece of paper and write down really and truly what I've done for the Lord that didn't bless me or benefit me, I don't believe we'd have too much on our piece of paper, folks. I really don't. Oh, we do what we do most of the time to get us a little pat on the back to make us feel good about ourselves, don't we? That's what we do. That's just true. John chapter 19. Got your Bibles open. I got this on my heart. Had it on my heart all week. Told Brother Garrett Friday. I said, "Lord blesses me, I'm going to preach something right here." And gets on my mind and my heart to preach. I've not preached much about it, but I like to see things in the Bible that see things in the Bible maybe the way it might be seen through the eyes of some of them that lived it. I think God wants us to read that, and He wants us to glean from that and learn from that. But in John chapter 19, the Bible says in verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, "It is finished." And He bowed His head and He gave up the ghost. Now listen, folks, nobody never killed Jesus, okay? Nobody didn't kill Jesus, and He didn't die of natural causes on the cross. The Bible says that the soul that sinneth shall die. Jesus never sinned. So Jesus laid down His life. As a matter of fact, Jesus said at 3 o'clock in the dot on that day, Jesus said, "I'm going to die, I'm going to give up my ghost, and I'm going to die." The only man that ever lived that could do that was Jesus Christ. You, friend, listen, we may wallow around and get sick, and we may, the doctor might come in, and they might say, and I've been in the hospital, and they'll say, "He's got a couple hours left, or she's got maybe a day left." And they'll linger on for a week or two, or sometimes they'll die in the next 15 minutes. We don't know the hour or the day, but Jesus knew the very moment in time where He was going to say, "It is finished," and He was going to give up the ghost and die for your sin, friend, and mine. But the Bible says in verse 31, "The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that the Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with Him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that He was dead already, they brake not His legs." See, it was their preparation time. It was a time where they was going to have their Passover time, and they couldn't have them bodies hanging out over the cross to go worship the Lord, to go worship their lamb that they took, because it ruined their church service to go by and see those bodies hanging up. They leave those bodies hanging on crosses for 2 and 3 and 4 days at a time to disgrace those bodies. Listen, and to show the community that went by, if you, listen, buck up against the Roman government, there's what's going to be you. So it was there. They'd leave them there for days upon days to get people's attention. To say, "Now listen, if you buck up against us, that's what's going to be your fate, and you're not going to come down." But they break the legs of the one, and they break the legs of the other. They didn't break Jesus' legs, because the Scripture said not one bone of His body was going to be broke. And listen, you've heard preaching about that. But one man on one side and one man on the other side, and both of these people, they got their legs broke, and they died. Someday, let me tell you something, friend. Someday, something's going to come along and going to break your legs, and you're going to die. Someday, something's going to come along. Have you ever heard that tale? He got his legs cut out from under him. Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you something. You might be here today, about this evening sometime. Something might come along in your life and cut your very legs right out from under you and put you down somewhere. But the Bible says that there were two men that hung on the cross with Jesus Christ. And both these men, they had eyes like you have. They had ears like you have. And they could see and they could hear everything.
thing going on around them, around that cross. You're either on one side of Jesus or you're on the other side of Jesus this morning. What they see. Listen, they looked down upon the cross, Brother Jason, and they saw a crowd of Roman soldiers playing games at the foot of the cross. You know why a lot of people stay lost? It's because there's people in this world that play games at the foot of the cross. They've got the Lord's vesture. They've got the Lord's garment. And they're casting lots. And they're taking a chance. And these two criminals who are justly being hung on the cross. Hey, listen, they're looking down. And they're seeing. And they're seeing men playing games at the foot of the cross. There's a lot that stayed home this morning because a lot of churches are playing games at the foot of the cross. There's a lot on the way to hell this morning because people are playing games at the foot of the cross. And not only did they see the soldiers that are playing games, they saw the religious people that were real proud in their religious. So no wonder both these men, they look down and see that one crowd playing games. Then they look over and see this other crowd that's just so proud in their garments and just so proud in their religion, and they're mocking and they're cursing at the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something, there's a lot of that crowd out today. If they ain't playing games, they're so proud in the tradition, they're so proud in the building, they're so proud in a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They're like an empty vessel. They've got the form, but they don't got the power or the meat that needs to go in that vessel. And these two soldiers and these two crooks that hung beside the Lord with their eyes, they're seeing people playing games at the foot of the cross. They're seeing a crowd that's real religious. And then over here, they see a pitiful crowd of believers. Hey, listen, I don't know how that this one man got saved. I'll tell you how. It was a supernatural move of God. Because some people, that's all you see today, is you see people playing games. Or you see a proud crowd. Or you see a crowd that's so pitiful, all they do is wring their hands and cry and are worried. Hey, listen, God said, don't weep for me, but weep for your children. Now these two thieves, that's what they seen upon the cross. And they began to mock Jesus. Both of them began to mock. And both of them began to curse the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, listen to me. But one thief began to look. I believe they both looked at Jesus as he hung there on the cross. I believe they looked down at his feet. And they seen those precious feet that walked the road. They seen the precious feet that walked the dusty sand hills. That walked the dusty roads to a woman one time out in Samaria. They seen the dusty feet that went down Jericho's road to meet with a man that was a sinner man by the name of Zacchaeus. They seen feet everywhere they walked. They brought peace. They brought joy. They brought love. They brought satisfaction out of somebody's life. I believe they looked up at his legs as he hung on the cross, all beaten, battered, and striped. Legs that carried the lovely Lord Jesus. I believe they looked at his hands, tender hands that reached out and healed. Blinded eyes, tender hands that restored. Listen, hearing to the deaf. Tender hands that touched a casket one time and give a woman back her dead son. Tender hands. Everywhere he went, he used those tender hands to help those tender hands that sit on a rock one day and the little children come up. Those tender hands that were nailed to the cross. Those tender hands that cradled up a little child up in his arms, up in his hands. That thief was watching. Those tender her hands as they trembled on the cross. And listen, then he looked up at the face with the spit dripping from his beard, with that spit in his face, and clumps of hair come out. Well, they pulled the hair right out of his face, and clumps of hair that they pulled out of his head by the root. And he looked at his mouth, oh mouth, and never spake no words of guile. Oh mouth, and spoke words of love. Oh mouth, and said, Lazarus, come forth. Oh mouth, and brought the resurrection and the life. Oh mouth, and said, I am a Lamb of God. Oh mouth, that went about preaching good. Oh mouth, that they said, never a man spake like this man, but he speaks as one that has authority and power.
Amen. Amen, bro. That's good. That's good, bro.
Both those thieves licked that mouth. Oh, they looked up at the eyes. Oh, Solomon said in the Song of Solomon, my beloved, oh, he has eyes as tender as a dove's eyes. I believe they looked up in the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about you, friend, here this morning, and me. We both got the same view. Both these men had the same view. Hey, listen, and one man began to curse and to say, Jesus, if thou be Lord, hang him down from here and help me. I never read anywhere in the Bible where Jesus ever answered that man, where he ever looked at that man, where he ever acknowledged that man. You know why some of you sit here lost? Because you're asking the wrong question. You're asking him to do something that he's not going to do. And you're asking him for your own benefit. But the one on the other hand, he said, Lord, hey, listen, first thing he did, first thing that he did was he rebuked his buddy on the other side. He said, we were justly getting the reward that we need. He said, we deserve to be here on this cross. You'll never get saved. You'll never get your fellowship restored until you admit, until you say, I'm the one that's wrong. It ain't the preacher. It ain't the church. It ain't nobody else. But I'm the one that's wrong. He said, oh Lord, listen. He said, listen, you're saying the wrong thing. He said, we need this. We deserve this. We're rebels. We're an insurrectionist. He said, but he's done nothing amiss. And then he looked at him and he said, Lord, remember me when you come into thy kingdom. I don't believe he had no promise. I don't believe he just had anything. But he went from cursing him and he went to saying, Lord, just remember me. And Jesus raised up his head, and I could see him rolling his head over and looking at him with them eyes of love, with the spit rolling down and the blood flowing out. And he said, today, oh, you shall be with me in paradise.
Amen.
You say, well, Brother Kevin, what did he do? He couldn't do nothing. He was nailed on the cross. He couldn't get off and get baptized. And if you get saved, you better get baptized. That's showing the world what's been done on the inside. That's what's going to get done on the outside. You get saved, you better get in a church and get involved in that church. But getting in this fall in this church won't save nobody. Getting dipped in that water. No doubt, Brother Gerd, I told you Friday night. No doubt I've dipped a lot of them in the water. Ain't been more saved than that. Hey, but all I got to go on is what they tell me. I can't read the heart and I can't read the mind. All I got is what somebody tells me in their confession. But this man was nailed on the cross. And I believe something else that we miss a whole lot about this man on the cross is he had a nose and he could smell.
Yeah.
You say, what in the world are you talking about, preacher? I didn't get this the other day reading. Those crosses were in close proximity to each other. And I believe he could smell. You see, Jesus a few chapters back was in a house, and a little woman come up behind him with an alabaster box. And she broke it and anointed the Lord Jesus. Oh, they got mad. They said, you shouldn't have done that. You should have saved that. And you should have sold that. It's worth some money. Jesus said, look here. Jesus rebuked them, and Jesus said this. He said, against the day of my burial, this shall be a memorial to this woman. Brother Gertie said, when I get buried someday, it's going to be a memorial.
Yeah.
He said, this is going to stay on me. This is going to stay with me.
That's good, bro.
When I get buried. I believe when he was on that cross, I believe he smelled something. I believe he smelled that alabaster box. Now that alabaster box, she was a woman. She didn't have a job. She was poor. And we know that she was a prostitute. And she had that alabaster box on her dresser. And every day, no doubt, little boy, when she'd go home, she'd see that alabaster box on the dresser. And she'd say, oh Lord, I got that through ill gains. I got that alabaster box from sin. And if she was saved, she had the devils cast out of her. Hey, but watch this. And she got to the point where it bothered her so bad that she said, I'm taking that alabaster box, which represents my past, and I'm giving it to the Lord Jesus Christ. And right there on the cross, brother, he said, I can smell that alabaster box because he nailed my past on the cross. And let me tell you something. I don't care what you've done in your life, how bad you've been, how kind of sin you've been in. When the Lord Jesus hung on the cross, he took your alabaster box and it was nailed on the cross with him on the cross.
Amen. That's good, brother.
So even though that guy was a bad fella, he smelled his past getting nailed to the cross. I like it, brother. Now watch this. I said all that to get to this. He comes along and there, Jesus dies first. He's dead. Oh, listen, I can imagine the devil coming up that man on the cross and saying, there's your king. Today you'll be with me in paradise. Yeah, right. Just go ahead and denounce that and start cussing and try to get off his cross. I don't believe he did. I believe he just hung her. And Jesus is there dying. He's dead. The old Roman soldier comes up with a big sledgehammer looking thing. That one man, he's a fighting. He's a screaming as they come along with that sledgehammer, and he rears back, breaks his legs right here to where he can no longer push up. Oh, he falls down in such pain, and his last breath goes out of his lungs. He's screaming in pain and cussing. He goes over to that other man, and he rears back. He rears back and he breaks his legs there on the cross. And he's saying, oh, hey, all I can go through his mind, all that's going, Brother Glenn, through his mind, all that's going through his heart is, today, thou shalt remember me in paradise. Oh, he's in such pain. He's in such sorrow. He's in such suffering. Could you imagine being nailed to a cross, being beat, and that ain't bad enough. Somebody takes a sledgehammer, buddy, and breaks your legs right there and right there, and there you are hanging. Could you imagine what pain and agony that man was in? And all that's going through his mind is, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now let me use my imagination just for a minute now. Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. I believe that man, he's a shaking in pain, and he's a trembling, and he drops his head, and no doubt he's about ready to puke and pass out and die, because he's under so much pain and under so much suffering. And then all of a sudden, he's got a feeling that the pain is all gone. And I believe he begins to feel a sensation. You ever flew in an airplane? You ever gone on a roller coaster and it went tick, 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 and you went down the other side and you had a sensation like I'm flying? I believe he noticed that the pain has went away. I believe he noticed. I feel like I'm a fly. Wait a minute. I am a fly. I believe he looks on the left and there's an angel. I believe he looks on the right and there's an angel. Because in Luke 16, it said, the angels carried Abraham or carried Lazarus up to Abraham's bosom. I believe he looked on the left hand. He don't feel no pain at all whatsoever in his body. All his suffering is went away. All his sorrow is went away. And he's got two angels, and they look all glorious, and they're in shining white, and their faces look so strong. Oh, Brother Dean, and they're carrying him, and he's got this sensation of flying, and he looks down, and he sees the earth, and he looks out, and he sees Jupiter, and he sees Mars, and he keeps on flying. He says, oh, Lord, hey, listen, I like this. All of a sudden, he begins to hear, oh, singing, some of the most beautiful singing that he's ever heard. And I might believe that he might have looked over at one angel and said, what are they singing? Angel said, I don't know. It's a song that only they can sing. For the Bible says that we'll sing a song that the angels can't even sing. Oh, listen to me. I believe he's flying, Sister Shirley. Oh, listen, there's no pain and there's no sorrow. Oh, listen to me. I believe that's what happens when a child of God dies. He may lay in a hospital bed and he may wallow in sorrow. They may have him hooked up in all kinds of tubes. Or he may be mangled up in a car wreck somewhere. Hey, but listen, when he takes his last breath, I believe the first thing he realizes is that all that is stopped. Oh, listen, he may have struggled. Could you imagine how that man struggled to breathe on that cross? I watched him struggle to breathe on oxygen, trapped up to their nose. Listen, could you imagine how he felt when all of a sudden, oh, he could take a deep breath from another land, and his lungs just come so clear with air from glory, and he's flying, and he's in a land that he could have never imagined that he's in before, and he's hearing singing that he's never heard before, beautiful singing, and the angels moving a little closer. Oh, he sees some creatures flying around. He got six wings and six hands. And they're flying. They got faces like men. He said, I've never seen that before. And the angel said, that's the seraphim. They find them in Isaiah chapter 6. They fly around the throne of God. And he said, what are they saying? They said, holy, holy, holy. They've been saying that for billions and billions of years. That's all they can say. That's all they know to say in the presence of God is holy, holy, holy. I believe all of a sudden that old sinful thief that should have died and went to hell on the cross, I believe all of a sudden he's standing before the Lord. All those tender eyes is looking at him. And those tender hands grasping. And he don't mention nothing about him cussing him on the cross. He don't mention nothing about his past. The Lord Jesus says, welcome home, son. Puts his arms around him. And I believe that thief is saying, how can this be? He's got his arms around him. And the Lord says, son, welcome home. And he turns him around. All the sights that he sees. I believe he sees streets, and listen, like pure gold, that are clear, transparent. I believe he sees trees, the most beautiful trees that he's ever seen. I believe the Lord begins to take him down the streets of glory, and the Lord don't have to introduce him to nobody. You see, because you'll know everybody in heaven. I believe he goes by one, and he says, well, hello, Abraham. He says, well, hello, Mr. Thief. Good to see you. I believe he goes by Isaiah, and Isaiah says, well, good to see you, Mr. Thief. I'm glad you made it home. Amen. I believe he goes up to old Abraham and Isaac and Joseph. I believe he goes up to that little maid that told I ain't Naaman where he can get some help. And she said, oh, good to see you, thief. They didn't say my name either. I'm just a little old maid. But God used me in a mighty way. Oh, listen. I believe he ran into a little man. The last time he seen him, he was crippled. But he's got legs and he's walking around. He said, hey, there's that old fella that laid on the street that told me about you, Lord. He said, welcome home. I knew that every word had come out of my mouth would not return a void unto God. And it was worth it. I believe he said, it was worth it earth. It was worth it all.
Amen, amen, brother.
Hey, man.
Oh, listen. That other thief. Some of you are like that other thief.
Yeah.
Here's what's going to happen to you. That other thief is in the same amount of pain. That other thief is in the same amount of suffering. But Dean, they cut his legs too. They break his legs out too. And he begins, listen. He says, I'm in pain. I'm in suffering. Oh, but he closes his eyes and he's still in pain. And he's in worse suffering. And instead of the sensation that he's flying, he begins to feel the sensation that he's spiraling out of control. And he's falling. You ever had a sensation that you fail? Hey, listen, babies are born with two sensations, two natural reflexes. Did you know what it is? They got a fear of loud noises. And they got a fear of falling. That's two reflexes that a baby's born with. If you take that little baby that Brother Trent's holding to his chest, and he acts like he's going to drop it, it'll naturally try to grab a hold of something. And if you make a loud, sharp noise around that baby, it'll turn its head. It's born with those two reflexes. Hey, listen, in hell, listen, that's the two major fears that you're born with, son. And in hell, listen, there'll be the screams that you never, listen, could even imagine the screams. This man off the cross, he begins to spiral out of control, and he begins to fall downward. And as he's falling downward in pain and suffering, he begins to hear the screams of the damned. That's in hell, screaming out. Hey, listen, he's a fallen. He's in pain. He's a sufferer, and he's hearing screams, and he gets to a place where they begin to gnash on him. They're gnashing on his legs, gnashing on his arms, gnashing on his face. He's gnashing on them. They're gnashing on each other, and they're in a flame and a pit called hell. But he didn't have to be that way. All he had to do was move his heart. Because his legs got cut too. His legs got cut. Friend, you're going to get your legs cut out from under you one day. You're going to have your legs broke one day. And you're going to go. You say, not me. Well, you just go ahead and I'll just tell you right now, 10 out of 10 die. And you'll get your legs cut out one day. God will send the soldier of death to come along and break your legs. And something's going to take you out of this world. And put you down.
Amen.
You see on that cross, you got one dying for the sin of the whole world. On the other side of that cross, you got one dying in sin. That's the one that went to hell. That's you if you're just saved by, not saved by the grace of God. And on the other side of that cross, you got one that died to sin. That's the one that went to heaven I was preaching about. And I couldn't even explain in words or do it justice the beauty that he saw there.
No.
He didn't see no sea there neither. He just saw crystal clear water. I believe he's seen his loved ones there that have went on. I believe you'll see Teddy Tacky when you get to heaven. So I believe I'll see Teddy Tacky. I believe I'll see my father-in-law. I believe I'll see my loved ones. I believe I'll see the dear saints of God that have poured their life into me. And I know them and they'll know me. Listen, we're going to have a good time in the Lord. But if you don't make it, I'll never know that you was ever born. And listen, if my kids don't make it, I'll never know they was ever born into this world. Hey, listen, if my brother, if my sister-in-law, if my nephews and nieces, mother and daddy, whoever the case may be in your life, if you go to heaven and they go to hell, you'll have no existence in their mind that they ever lived. But in hell, your memory's still intact. Your memory, matter of fact, you got real good memory in hell.
Yeah, real good.
You remember every sermon, you remember everything, because that's all you got to do down there, suffer and remember. Suffer and remember. And you'll not shake your fist in hell. God say, I didn't have a chance, because they'll roll them through your mind over and over and over. And I said this during the revival, and I'm going to say it tonight, or this morning, preaching here. Wouldn't it be awful to be in hell? And, I mean, when I played basketball, if my mom, or foot baseball, my mom or dad hollered my name out there. If there was 1,000 people in the stands, I could tell my mom and dad's voice because that was my mom and dad.
I could tell my kids' voice from everybody else's kids. When they holler something, I know that's my kids' voice. Mommies, you know that. Daddies, you know that. Wouldn't it be awful to be in hell and be tormented in hell and to hear a scream over here and you think, that sounds like my boy. I don't know if that's my boy or not. And you're trying to get over there and you can't never get over there and you hear that scream. Because I believe in hell you're going to hear things like, Daddy, Mommy, Preacher, Brother. I believe he's going to hear those.
Yeah, I do too, brother.
And you're going to say, is that my son calling for me? Is that my daughter calling for me?
No, we got to get a burden, brother.
Is that my brother? And you try to get to them, but you can't because they're standing over here. And you're in so much pain. And you're in so much torment. Because you deny the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, it gets quiet, ain't it? This thing ain't something. We just ain't playing. You just don't come down here and I just do a little dance for you on Sunday morning like you used to at some of these other churches that's deader than five hammers. You're going to come down here and get some conviction on you, get saved, and get right with God. Because this thing that we're doing here is real.
Yeah,
this ain't just a social club. We come down and have a meeting and join hands, sing kumbaya, and everybody feel good. We're still not something real because you're going to get your legs broke someday and die. And spend eternity somewhere, heaven or hell. One way or the other. We're going to go one place or the other. You're one of the thieves. I was one of the thieves. I said, Lord, have mercy on me. I don't want to go to hell. I deserve to die on that cross. But you want to come off that because you ain't a bad old boy. You ain't a bad old girl. Good girls, they go to hell. Same as old prostitute whores on the street. Good little old church boys go to hell. Same as old whoremongering, nasty-headed boys. You go to hell because you're not saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
Brother Garrett, will you get us a song, brother?